Good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And I am in a particularly good mood this evening.
Have you been in this good mood for about 4 days?
Intolerable, I think, was the word you used before you decided to take yourself off to bed at that night and said, you're going to be really intolerable this evening and I don't want to be here with you. I was like, that is fine. I cracked open a crate of beers, sat there on my own, celebrating the victory.
And I came down the next morning to just loads of beer bottles sat on the side.
Lots of Peroni bottles on the side, yeah. Like, lots of Peroni bottles. Guys, welcome to this episode of FPL Family, but a particular welcome to all the Liverpool fans. We are champions. It's been confirmed. Liverpool are now Premier League champions, and you won't get a smile bigger than this. This will be on my face the whole time. I'm afraid if you are here for any non-Liverpool chat, if it comes to we will be spending a little bit of time about Liverpool, but
I don't think
it won't be. We won't go too heavy. I'll try not to.
I don't think you have smiled as much as you have since that day. Even on our wedding day, I don't think you smiled that much.
Come on. No, you're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, we will get to, guys, in a bit. We will talk about the performances and we'll talk about... Well, I was going to say we'll talk in a bit of depth about game week 31, but actually don't think we will. We're in a funny time right now to be doing a live stream, aren't we?
Let's face it, it's
a funny time to be alive. Liverpool are champions. I will mention that again over the course of this evening.
Who's keeping count?
Yeah, somebody keep count. Somebody in the live chat. Keep count. Get in the comments below with your predictions as to how many times I will say Liverpool champions. I'll make reference to it. There will be some. But we are at a funny stage of the week, aren't we? Because game week 31 feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? The Chelsea City game, Liverpool becoming champions, feels like a long time ago. And we are, of course, already into game week 32. We've had two fixtures. We've had the Wolves fixture.
But have the champions played yet?
Champions haven't played yet, Sam. No. Next Thursday for the champions.
Oh, right. Seven.
That, you know, because we're champions. So we are kind of mid-game week. So we're going to do a slightly different FPL family for you tonight, guys. We will, of course, have a quick look back at game week 31. We'll tell you how our teams got on. We'll tell you who was good, who was bad. We'll give you a feel for where our overall ranks are. A little bit of a red arrow for me, I have to say.
And me.
Last game with a Bruno Fernandes captain fail, which was a bit disappointing. But we'll talk about that briefly. Then we'll talk about a couple of other things. One of the things I want to talk about clearly is Liverpool. I do want to talk about Liverpool for at least a little bit of the video, but from an FPL perspective. One of the questions we keep asking ourselves, of course, is now that Liverpool won the title, now what? What happens? Is Klopp going to go for it? Is he going to go for the points record? Or are we going to start to see some of these fringe players come through, some of the younger players come through? And I will give my view by position. We can talk defence, midfield, forwards as to who I think is going to come in, who do I think might lose minutes, etc, etc. So I'll give you my view, and of course you can chip in with that too. And then as we get towards the end of the video, I want to talk about the race for fourth, because if we're thinking about where we pick our FPL assets from, I think a lot of us coming back into the break, we're going, right, well, the relegation battlers have got a lot to fight for, so we need to, you know, probably one or two of those in our... No, apart from Brighton picking up a few points, they've been absolutely terrible, the boys battling out at the bottom. So I think it's all eyes on the race for fourth, frankly, and the race for the Champions League, or should I say fifth? Who knows? Fourth stroke fifth.
The race for Europe. Let's call it the race for
Europe. The race for Europe. The race for the Champions League. Let's call it. So it's all eyes on the race for the Champions League. So because of that, I wanted to take some time on the live stream tonight to talk about those teams that are in that race, because there are some real form teams in there right now.
Next year's champions.
Well, I don't know. Who do you think is next year's champions? Don't say Spurs. Oh my days. Don't say Spurs.
Why not? Girls got to have a dream, right?
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. You are so far off it. So we'll talk about the race for Champions League, guys, because actually those are the teams we need to be focused on from FPL, in my view. And there's probably a couple of treble ups in there that we need to be looking at.
Are you trebling Spurs?
I'm not trebling Spurs.
Are you trebling Spurs?
I'm definitely not trebling Spurs. I might be trebling a bit of Man United. I might be trebling a bit of Wolves. Who knows?
I know you want to.
But we'll have a bit of talk later on, guys, about the race for the Champions League, because that is where a lot of the FPL points are coming from right now. I've just noticed that we're a little bit bright. Actually, I might just change the... let's see if we can change...
Shut the shutters.
Oh, there's a... That's a bit better, isn't it? Should we do that? And then we have a bit of light up here. A bit of light here. Oh, no, that's too light. There we go. There we go. That's good. Right, let's say hello to a few people, because if you're a Liverpool fan and you're in tonight, you're getting a shout out.
Talk about being a Liverpool fan. We're not on the tea tonight, look.
No tea, guys. No tea. We are celebrating. Get those bubbles open, because it's very rare.
I don't do opening bottles, really, so this will be funny.
Watch out for holes in the ceiling. Guys, if you've got a beer, if you've got bubbles, get it open. Tonight's the night, because we are celebrating the Premier League coming to Anfield tonight, guys. I'm just going to wait to see what happens here, because we've got some. I've got some very important things on that shelf over there. You beat... Oh, my goodness me. Would you like me to help?
No, I can do it.
Oh, can you help
me
out?
I'm so scared.
Can you help me? 9:30, I'm planning to finish. Is that right? Give it to me. Oh, my days.
I've done it.
There we go, right. As you're doing that, I will get in.
Oh, I love this stuff.
The live chat, and I will say hello to a few people. Karthik Rao is in. How are we doing? Yeah, get that poured. Lovely. Get that poured. Karthik Rao is here. How are we doing? FPL Tips is here. Tips, Harry. How are you, sir?
Hey,
welcome
Hazza
to the live stream.
Do you want to call you Hazza?
Hazza.
That's what we call our cat.
Hazza. There you go. FPL Tips.
Sorry
Hazza
about that, Harry.
Hazza.
I haven't even.
You haven't even started with that yet, and you're calling Tips Hazza. Goodness me.
That's because that's our cat's name's Harry, and I call it Hazza.
Well, there we go.
Hazza.
Another favourite of yours, MU Fan TV, is here. Who presumably, thank you very much.
He's a happy boy.
He's a happy boy right now. Through to the next round of the cup as well. Manchester United. Who do they get drawn? Chelsea, wasn't it? Chelsea
yeah,
in the semis. Could be a good. Well, absolutely sure that's going to be a good semi final.
Tips versus
Manu,
MU Fan TV.
MU Fan TV versus Tips. In
I mean,
the
I've
FA
only
Cup
given you half
final.
A glass,
gonna be good.
Gonna
be good. Toxic Fusion is here. Hey, Sam and Lee, he's saying. We haven't seen Toxic for a little while, so welcome back, Toxic Fusion. Very nice to see you. El Stato is here, one of our friends from the Twitter community. Hey, El Stato.
And the Instagram community, thank you.
He's on
Stats
Insta as well,
is
he?
Now over on Instagram. If you do not follow Stats on Instagram,
he's your man.
Go and give him a
he's
follow.
He's your man. Go and give him a follow. There we go, guys. Ariaman is in. I got Kane in my team, Sam.
Hey!
LOL emoji.
Hey! Loving it.
I think he's. I can't work out that that's a laughing emoji or a crying emoji.
No, it's I'm so happy it's reduced me to tears.
I know he got the goal, but...
Cheers.
Cheers. Champions. Champion. Liam Healy is here. How are we doing, Liam? Very nice to see you. Joe Finley Badder is in and moderating just with an...
Oh, he won't be happy.
He's got an angry emoji from Joe. That's all we've got. Nothing
else.
Yeah,
because I imagine... Like, I feel a bit sorry for people like Joe at the moment. Because no, because like Joe, bless him, he goes.
If you're gonna call Tips Hazza, what's Joe? Jezza.
No, maybe I'll lengthen him. He can be Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah.
It's a bit strict.
No, because like I've no idea. I feel because every week normally, rain or shine, doesn't matter if it's Newcastle or Southampton, he's there every week supporting his team. And what does his team really need at the moment? That
yeah,
they need those people,
yeah,
and it's gutting, isn't it?
Yeah, thought they were going to get back into it today. 2-0 down. Obviously, we'll talk
never,
about Danny Ings in a bit, right?
I'm just not interested in Watford, to be honest.
Danny
they're dead
Ings,
to me.
Battering ranks every single week, isn't he?
Foster,
unbelievable.
He's
you
dead
have Foster
me
in your team, right?
Dead
and
to me.
He's looking like a transfer waiting to happen, right?
Oh,
now.
Foster, undoubtedly the biggest mistake I've made
yeah
so far.
And Ismail Assar, I must admit, as I put a tweet out there earlier, Joe, I think Joe came back and agreed with the tweet to say. You know, he was showing some really good form pre-break, so on that basis, I thought he had some momentum. Then one of the key concerns I had was that players that would lose momentum during that break, and he absolutely has.
He
he's just not even in the games. He's not even in the game. So he's looking like a transfer out to me right now. Looking
yeah
like it. Pedro Duro is here. How are we doing? Champions of England, he's saying. Pedro, yes.
Oh,
champions.
There's another one. There you go. How many are we on now? 10?
That's true. I Want Goals 15 is saying, love Ingsy. Yeah, goodness me. It just continues to provide such great value.
What was it?
Here,
what was it that Tip said before the stream? Who hates him?
Yeah, Tips
pretty
is,
much everyone
Tips
from there
is not loving Ings right now. He's
well,
not
most of
Ings
us got rid of Ings on unlimited transfers. Did you? Or you'd already got rid of him before, hadn't
I'd
you?
Already got rid of him on my wildcard, I think. Yeah, already, yeah.
Yeah.
James Harding is in Super JWP. Nice free kick that, but I have to say...
New Capitani.
He's yeah,
the
I mean,
captain,
he's the captain, isn't he? But, I mean, Foster gave him half the goal to shoot at. I mean, I don't...
Don't
I saw
talk
the,
to me about Foster. Can we stop mentioning his
camera
name?
Camera shot from behind the goal. And he just... The whole of the left-hand side of the goal. I'm like, what are you doing, Ben? I don't know. It's a nice strike by James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah.
Not taking that away from him. Ads is here. How are we doing? Frank Verlinden is here. How are we doing, Frank? Very nice to see you.
What kind of wave was that?
Say again.
I did this sort of weird wave then.
What was that?
I don't know. Because I was drinking and I wanted to say hello to Frank. And then I saw Ascender just ended up doing this.
Did you do a little FF Scout underscore as wave on the FPL show?
I saw it. It was kind of worse, actually.
Worse than as
wave. I don't know. Maybe I'm spending too much time talking to David and as, and
quite
now I've picked up their weird waves.
Quite possibly. Dom J is here. Dominic Jervis, how are you doing? Very nice to see you. Fantasy Football Focus is here. How are we doing? FF Focus. Jamie Taylor is in. Very nice to see you. Alex Wicks as well, who's a Palace fan. A bit of a
game tomorrow.
Big game tomorrow, yeah, big game. Froda is in. Let's see who else. Brody Murray, Lawrence as well, FPL Classico. Casey Skinner is here. How are we doing, Casey? Very nice to see you. Gaz Temple and a whole host of people, Sam. A whole host of people.
Oh, I know why Casey's in. They're all Liverpudlians, aren't they?
I'm hoping Casey's household. I'm hoping Dave, Casey's dad, is in.
Yeah, but Dave had...
Watching this.
Dave had flags, didn't he?
He had pre-prepared flags. I mean, how presumptuous is that? But I love every minute of it.
I mean, to be fair to Dave, he'd had like 14 weeks to wait for this to happen. Yeah. We knew it was coming.
Yeah. As Liverpool fans, we're doing a bit of prep.
They've spent lockdown well, sorting out their fan situation.
What I liked about it is like NFC Twitter and YouTube had like some like videos ready. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Did you? I'm surprised you hadn't made an FPL family sort of video to go out.
No, this is it, Sam. This is it. I've said all season, it's not done until it's done.
Yeah, but I
people hated it when I said that, but it's not done.
Part of me thought when I went to bed and left you on, what night was it? Thursday. When I went to bed and left you on Thursday night, part of me expected the next morning to wake up to a ping on my phone from you, being like, can you put this graphic out? And it'd just be like some sort of weird FPL family Liverpool winning the
league. I thought you were going to say a ping on your phone to me, say, I'm outside Anfield.
No.
I've got flair. You can't get me because I'm shat.
No, I wouldn't have thought that because I had an FPL show and you had a pod to record.
I still had a podcast to record.
So I knew you weren't going to go to Liverpool, but I did sort of expect you to do something random. And apparently you did a few random things. But not drive to Anfield. That was not on the list.
Not random. No. We do need to have a look, Sam. We do need to have a look back at the fixtures that we've had this week. And of course, the game weeks are coming thick and fast. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're already two fixtures into game week 32. And of course, we've got, I think, football every day over the next week, which is just awesome.
It's brilliant, isn't it? You're never bored at the moment, are you?
Well, there's always a game on. Whether those games are always good or not is a completely different question.
But that doesn't matter.
I kind of don't care right now. Yeah, the fact there's something to watch and it's football is good. I'm happy with that.
And actually, sometimes the bad games, even the bad games, are good. Like, because you spend your whole time going, what is wrong with Norwich?
Yeah.
Like, why are they so bad?
Well, so this is why FPL is perfect for this running. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Because if I was a Liverpool fan now, I'm done. I wouldn't care now. You can put the kids out for all I care. But I want to keep Salah. I'm thinking about the rotation. I'm you know, a Man City going to just lose it now? And also the games, like, I've been watching games and I'm all of a sudden really, you know, I'm watching the Wolves games right now with double Wolves defence, like Patricio and Doherty.
Yeah.
And the game they just played, I'm like, on the edge of my seat, making sure they don't concede.
And I'm so torn because I'm like, I want you to lose. I really need Wolves to start dropping points. But the FPL hat of me is like, Doherty, keep a clean sheet. Yeah.
So it's perfect for FPL. This is perfect for FPL, the running. I love it. So here are a few of the games. I'm absolutely not going to go through every single game, but some of the games we do need to talk about. Man
what
United
have you got up
3.
There, 31.
This is game week 31. Of course, Man United 3, Sheffield United 0. The only person I want to talk about is Martial. What is your view of Martial coming into game week 32? Now, our teams are locked and loaded, so you're not going to make a change for him. But thoughts on the Manchester United assets just in general then? And we'll talk a bit more about them in the race for fourth. But Martial in particular, is he on your radar to get in?
No.
Oh, really?
And the only reason he's not on my radar to get in is because I already own Fernandes and Rashford.
Right.
And whilst I feel like the treble up at Man United is on, I'm not sure that that's the treble up that I want. I said this on the FPL show on Friday, Martial looked fantastic in that game. But then there are other games where he just sort of isn't quite up.
Is that his one good game in six, for example?
Yeah,
we've seen that so many times.
Yeah, and his consistency over the season is sort of there, but it's sort of, it's a couple of games of good results, then a couple of blanks, then more. Like, he's only had four double-digit returns this season. Three of them have come up high.
Not bad for his price.
It's not, and given that he's been out injured, it isn't bad. It's just that, for me, I felt, and then maybe I'm wrong, because I've done a lot of things wrong in the last week, but maybe, I just felt that with the additional penalty stuff, it was worth the extra for Fernandes. But actually, what I think was really noticeable is that in the game against Spurs, Martial wasn't as effective. Like and when Pogba came on, it was all about Pogba. And I think a lot of us, FPL fans, rather than Manchester United fans, were quite excited about the Pogba stuff. But what ended up happening was that Martial ended up going forward a lot more, and it ended up being Pogba and Fernandes that were sitting back a little bit more. So from an FPL point of view, it did make Martial much more attractive. Now, I'm somewhat concerned as a Fernandes owner, given how much he played in the FA Cup.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so from my perspective, I thought that midfield two, that Bruno and Pogba, I think in the previous games where we've all piled onto Bruno, that's because Bruno is, he's the man to get forward. Whereas I think with he and Pogba, they kind of took it in turns to go forward or not. Sometimes it was Bruno, sometimes it was Pogba. And then they'd have, you know, Matic sitting, I think it was, against Sheffield United. He actually had a pretty good game, I thought. So on that basis, Bruno is only getting forward, let's say 50% of the time. Yeah. Whereas before, it was always, he's always the man to go. But that creativity of those two and the uncertainty that that created in that patched up Sheffield United defence certainly opened up space for the likes of Rashford to then create for Martial to finish the goals up 100%. Front. So they are all good picks in my from my perspective. And Rashford was my transfer in this week and I'm very happy that I did that.
But
very
also, just before we move on from Manchester United, I think it's worth pointing out that the defence is looking rock solid at the moment.
Yeah, and so, assist for Wan-Bissaka, of course.
Yeah, so the Wan-Bissaka pick... the Maguire pick, even if you want to go a little bit rogue, De Gea pick, suddenly doesn't look as strange a way to spend the money. Suddenly it looks like a sensible spend.
But you, okay, but with De Gea, you're going to get the six, right? Whereas with Maguire and AWB, there's always that upside. I mean, Maguire scored in the cup, didn't he, for example?
I mean,
right?
I agree.
So they're worth the, I was going to say the extra, they're cheaper. And you've got more upside.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. But I think if you're, like for me, I got real keeper issues. So, you know, maybe. But, you know, I still think Maguire's the one I would have if I was going to pick a Man United defender.
Other games to discuss. Not going to go too heavy on the race for fourth, even though we've just got a bit heavy on Man U. I'm not going to go too heavy on race for fourth because I want to talk about that a bit later on. So a team that aren't going to be in the fourth race. Spurs 2, West Ham. Where else can we go? What can we talk about?
I very, 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 very nearly swore at you then.
A quick word on Newcastle versus Villa, because you bought in Alan St-Maximin and you have Lascelles in your team. And you said to me just before we came on air that you're kind of looking for Newcastle players to your differentials over the next few weeks, which is a little bit worrying. The fixtures they've got are there to be won, but very briefly, thoughts on... Are you happy to have these two Newcastle players? Are you can invest in more.
No more.
You haven't got Matty Ritchie yet. We've got to talk about him.
No, he got one off injured, didn't he?
Yes, he did. You've got to look out for that.
No, I don't want any more. Two's more than
two
enough.
Two Newcastle is enough. Yeah,
two black
you're
and
right.
white Newcastle players is more than enough. Thank you very much. But they have got nice fixtures. I mean, to be honest, So how I played my wild card, and I'll try and say this as quickly as possible because it could go on forever, but the reason I played my wild card in the way that it did is I felt I needed a couple of punty players in there that would just give me a bit of traction to that one top 1K. Now, it failed miserably throughout 31.
Yeah.
But I do think that with my Newcastle players, Lascelles isn't a differential really because a lot of people have him, but St-Maximin certainly is. And I felt like he was a risky pick, but not that risky when you looked at the fixtures. He does feel like there's points there.
Went off early today in the FA Cup game. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. So obviously the game was, I think Stevie Bruce knew the game was gone, to be honest with you, at 2-0 down. So he thought, well, I'm going to protect my key assets. And one of them, of course, was St-Maximin.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't play until Wednesday. So plenty of time for kind of recovery and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm fairly comfortable having him. Lascelles, I mean, it was frustrating last week because he lost the clean sheet so late on. But I feel like the two of them are fine. They're fine. I don't feel like they're my issues. I think I've got bigger fish to fry with my team at the moment.
Okay, and what about Aston Villa for their part then? So Villa looking a bit desperate, to be honest. A bit desperate, despite getting the point at Newcastle, which is not to be sniffed at. I am not really considering bringing any Villa players into my side right now.
No, and of course, they're one of the players that we have seen in game week 32. And I was so uninspired by them watching them in that game. I felt like Wolves, I mean, given... And it's one of those things that's been a bit frustrating for me as just a football fan.
Yeah.
It's been, without the crowd, these derbies are turning into damp squibs, aren't they? Like, we saw it in the Merseyside derby with Everton and Liverpool last week. We saw it again on Saturday with Wolves and Aston Villa. And
it's bound to be the case, though, isn't it? I mean, shouldn't be surprised about that.
No, but equally, I sort of did expect that that game would have some fire in it because Aston Villa really needed the points to stay up. Wolves really needed the points to make Europe. So in my mind, I thought, this is going to be... If there's ever going to be a derby where there's no crowds, but there's still a bit of fight in the teams, I thought that would be it. I'm seeing nothing from Villa. I don't want any of them.
Yeah, yeah. And as Andrew Macedo, thank you, Andrew, for the comment in the chat, he's saying he's got Matt Ritchie. He's a midfielder who takes set pieces and penalties. What's not to like? I think you're right to point out the injury. Keep an eye on that, Andrew. But if he's fit to play next Wednesday, then yeah, he's a nice pick as far as I'm concerned. But Villa... Yeah. Not going anywhere near those boys right now. Where else in the basement? So Watford we touched on. looking very difficult for them to get out of it. Going to Burnley, I think they might have hoped to get something, but
particularly given how poor Burnley were the previous game against Man City.
They just seem really direct at the minute, Watford. It seems a bit lump it to Deeney and hope.
Yeah.
And Deeney, don't get me wrong, he's good at winning those balls and he can bring others into play. But obviously they missed something with Gerard Deulofeu not there. Ismail Assar's not quite on the wavelength that he was before the coronavirus break. So the
creativity's gone, hasn't it?
Well, when they go direct and they go to Deeney, there's nothing really around him for him to feed off or feed to, if you know what I mean. So again, from an FPL perspective, I'm sorry, Joe, but I'm not really feeling. If anything, I'm thinking of selling Sar. I'm not thinking about getting anybody in right now.
No.
Same?
I agree, yeah.
Foster out probably this game week?
Oh, nailed on.
Yeah, I think
in fact,
so.
I might do it tonight.
Yeah. Who are you thinking is a Foster replacement then?
Patricio.
Yeah.
I just think that, I mean, I've got the money to do that. It does leave me with a slight quandary because actually I don't really want Henderson and Patricio. Maybe we could touch on Sheffield United in a bit.
Mm.
I don't really want them both because I feel like if you've got Patricio, it's set and forget.
Yeah.
So I might as well free up some money in Patricio then. But then,
quick stat for you. No saves made by Patricio in the first three games since the restart.
Really?
No saves.
Wow.
Or is it no save points? Somebody in the live chat can correct me, but I think I saw a stat that said no saves. So that tells you how well Wolves are defending right now.
That's incredible.
No saves, yeah. I think I've got that right. Somebody will tell me I'm wrong in a minute. What about Arsenal then? Because you'll be pleased potentially to hear that we were not talking about Arsenal when we talk about the race for fourth, because I think they are too far behind, frankly. Obviously got the win against Southampton, which, given how Southampton played today, not looking like too bad a result, although they were gifted the first goal in Nketiah by the goalkeeper at Southampton. So, Arsenal assets, how are you feeling about the Nketiahs and the Sakas and dare I say, if you're going to spend loads of money on the Aubameyangs? No?
Nketiah, yes. Yeah. Saka, yeah, I could get on board. Those two I can get on board with.
As fifth mids or third strikers, you could get on board there.
I can 100% get on board with that. In fact, I nearly did Nketiah, and Josh will testify to this because we had long chats about it. It was a straight choice at the end of my wildcard between Nketiah and Ayew, and I just felt like I saw something from Ayew in that first game week that made me think, yeah, I'll go with him over Nketiah. I felt like the minutes were more nailed, and therefore it was worth it. But actually, having watched Nketiah against Southampton, I now kind of feel like I made a mistake there, because Aubameyang just looks totally out of it. I don't know what's going on there. I mean,
his underlying stats aren't too bad.
But they're not
11 million.
No, exactly.
That's the problem.
And I think, you know, when Nketiah's playing, he's playing on the wing. It means Aubameyang is playing on the wing. So it means he's not in the position that he would ideally want, and we would ideally want as FPL managers for him to be. So he's not worth the money to me. Plus, you know, we've just seen Lacazette play in the Cup today, which surely means that Nketiah then is getting the start again when they play Norwich on Wednesday.
All eyes on that game for me, because Arsenal are so... It seems so hit and miss, and I think Xhaka being back actually is helping. I think that helped today against Sheffield United. But that game against Norwich, I know we can't change our teams now, it's locked in, but I'm really looking as to whether I invest in Arsenal for the rest of the season in that game, and whether they can show me that they can go out and put 2, 3, 4 goals past the team.
Well, they should, because Norwich have looked very, very poor since the restart. So Arsenal should be going into that game a certain win and a certain big win, but I don't see there being a big goal haul in Arsenal at the moment.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything yet that would suggest they've got 4 goals in them.
No, Norwich playing 120 minutes as well against Manchester United in the Cup, so that's going to mean there's extra miles in those legs. I know that a lot of the players that played in that Cup game didn't play in the previous Premier League game, so in my mind, that says to me Daniel Farke is giving up on the league. Because if he doesn't play those guys in the Premier League and then starts them all in the Cup, what a signal does that send to the fans? That says we're all in on the Cup.
Well, it's interesting.
And they almost got through.
So I read something about Farke saying that actually the attack was so bad from them in game week 30 that he was like, I'm dropping you. Because you were so bad, Pookie and Cantwell.
Yeah, yeah.
So they got dropped, not because of, forget the FA Cup, it was just they had nothing.
Is that press talk, though? Is that,
I don't
is
know.
Is that code for, I'm prioritising the FA Cup?
I don't know, but how can you? The reality is that staying in the Premier League is worth more in terms of the finances of that club, and they need to try and fight for survival. We've seen zero fight from them, and okay, they did a pretty good job against Manchester United in the FA Cup, but at the end of the day, it's now worthless because they've gone out.
Okay, all right. But from an Arsenal perspective, I think we still see some value there.
There is.
In the likes of Nketiah and Saka.
There isn't in Aubameyang for me, at the moment anyway.
Not in Aubameyang quite so much because he's going to cost you so much. Andrew Makedo again is saying Pepe is in wonderful form. You could consider him. I wouldn't say wonderful,
money.
Andrew. I would say he's in okay form. Did score a worldie, didn't he, in the league and then got the penalty today. But
it's too much
wouldn't
money.
Wouldn't say wonderful form, mate. But again, you know, it's going to cost you a lot of money. But a nice differential if you want to go for him, Andy. Put it that way. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Sonny Fosberg, Eddie the Eagle. Yeah, absolutely. He's looking all right, isn't he, Nketiah? Fantasy Football Focus, Eddie Nketiah picks up our call for points. Yeah, he's banging them in, no doubt. And Daniel Bedbridge just says, Eddie. So there's a lot of love for Eddie Nketiah in the live chat, no doubt about it.
You
can top me up as well if you want. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Thank you. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Let's see. Danny Ings. Is Danny Ings a good option? Carl Vinyard. Yes, Carl, I think he is based on what we've seen so far. Thank you.
Danny
since
Ings.
Since the return from the lockdown, from the coronavirus break, Danny Ings looks very, very good indeed.
Frustrating as hell, though.
So there we go. Those were the fixtures in game week 31. Feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? Feels like any of those that you want to talk about that we haven't discussed. I mean, Wolves, Spurs, Chelsea, Man City, Leicester. We're going to talk about all those guys in the race for fourth. But one team that played particularly well last game week was the current Premier League champion, Sam. Liverpool 4, Crystal Palace 0.
25 times.
And goodness me, what an absolutely fantastic performance that was to finish on in terms of getting the job done. I mean, of course, when the full-time whistle went, we didn't know whether the job would be
picture
done.
You got there.
That's a shot of the boys celebrating after the Palace game or during one of the goals during the Palace game.
All right.
Now, 4-0 in that game, I think it's fair to say that was a game that, actually coming into it, given that the Liverpool-Everton game didn't really go quite as planned and it felt like a bit of a training match, as you said, it lacked the intensity of a derby, no doubt about it. So to come up against a Palace side that defensively at least were in decent form, pre-break and coming back looked reasonably solid, to put on a show like that and win 4-0, thought Liverpool played very, very well. What does this mean, though? The question I guess a lot of FPL managers are talking about now is what that means for Liverpool assets going forward. So let's break it down into... I'm not going to talk about the goalkeeper because I think Alisson is going to play. I don't see that Adrian gets any minutes. The one thing I haven't seen is whether Adrian needs any minutes to get a medal.
I was just going to ask you that. So Alisson missed all those games at the beginning of the season when he was injured, didn't he?
I think Adrian has played enough games and enough minutes to warrant a medal. You don't need to look it up, but I think Adrian will get the medal. And so on that basis, I don't think we need to talk about the keeper. But from a defensive perspective, and let's go defence, midfield, forwards then. From a defensive perspective, what do you think this means for the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson?
Well, you tell me,
Joe
really,
Gomez.
Because yeah. you're the Liverpool resident. Because for me, I'll give you my opinion, but then you can tell me whether you think I'm right or not.
I'd love to hear it from you guys as well. If you're in the live chat, let us know in the live chat what you're going to be doing with your Liverpool assets. And if you're watching the replay of this video, get in the live comments below. I want to know what you guys are doing with your Liverpool assets, in particular Salah and Salah. I've said that before. I've done that loads of times. Salah and Mane. And those of you that have got Firmino, I'd love to know what you're doing. But defensively, we've seen Nico Williams come on for what was a pretty good cameo, actually, in that Crystal Palace game. Had a couple of shots on target as well. Bombed forward in a very Trent-esque way. Actually, I might even go as far as to say a little bit more direct than Trent in terms of attacking that corner of the box. And that's his style, Nico Williams. I think he's a good right back. I haven't seen enough of him to know how good a defender he is. But whenever I've seen him, he gets forward like you wouldn't believe. We've got another good right back in the squad, in the ranks, in the youth team called his name is Larucci, I think his name is. He's pretty good as well. Nathaniel Clyne looks like he's on the way out, so I don't think he's going to get any more minutes. So I think it's between Trent and Nico Williams for minutes between now and the end of the season. Now, of course, I expect Trent to get most of those. But do you think we will see Nico Williams coming on at the end of games? And actually, does that make Trent a better option? Because he's going to play somewhere between 60 and 70 minutes and the clean sheet's going to get locked in quicker.
Yeah. I don't know. You're the best person to judge this. But for me, I'm not taking Trent out of my team. I don't think I don't think Liverpool lift the title and that means Trent doesn't start.
Yeah. What do you think Klopp's mentality is then? So are Liverpool going for the points or are we satisfied? How do you think this is going to play out?
I mean, again, you know this better than me, but I don't think Klopp is ever satisfied. I don't think he's that sort of man. I don't think he ever goes, all right, lads, you've won it now. Let's all sit on the beach. I just don't think that's him.
It's not. And he talks about rhythm and he talks about that momentum a lot in terms of getting the team playing and winning becoming a habit. Now, my thinking on it is that if we were to take these games lightly between now and the end of the season, and he started playing completely different 11s, we would lose a lot of that momentum and we would lose that winning habit. Now, you could say that over the coronavirus break, everybody lost momentum, and then we came back and all right, the Everton game wasn't great, but we've got straight back into our stride against Crystal Palace.
We had a lot to fight for.
But we've got a lot to fight for. So I think, I mean, given that we haven't got that much time between the end of this season and the start of next, we've got to wait to see that, of course. But we don't think there's going to be much space in terms of pre-season, if you want to call it that. And of course, there are a lot of teams that are going to be playing in the Champions League. So there's a lot of teams that are going to have that momentum throughout the summer.
Yes.
Now, whether that will affect their legs in January, February, maybe it will. But those teams that are playing in that mini Champions League tournament, the likes of Man City, who obviously Klopp will have his eye on, clearly, for next season, because of course they always do have their eye on each other, Klopp and Pep.
And of course the likes of Man City and Manchester United and Chelsea have all progressed to the next round of the FA Cup. And so they will play for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Obviously the final being just at the end of the season, the beginning of August, I think, isn't it, the FA Cup final?
Yeah.
So that's going to keep those sides that are going to be in competition with you next year playing for a bit longer.
So at the end of these 9 games, Liverpool are done.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of other clubs that Klopp will have his eye on for next season that have additional games, either in Cup or European competitions.
Yeah.
And on that basis, I think Klopp will want to keep that momentum going. And he'll want to set up a couple of friendlies in that period of time between the end of the season and the start of next. Now, the players have had enough time. We've had enough time off with the coronavirus break. The longest time we've ever had off. So I don't think Klopp is going to say, right, stop, and then we'll have 2 weeks off and then go again. I think they'll be back in light training straight after the end of the last game.
Yeah, I mean, they know they will be able to, but they're unlikely to go on massive holidays this year either. Like, a lot of the time they get holiday time and they go off with their families.
Yeah.
They're unlikely to get that this year because there just isn't, the world isn't in that kind of place right now where you're going to go, where they're likely to go on a massive holiday. I tend to agree with you. I mean, I don't see Klopp as being the sort of manager that is okay with just it ending. I feel like this has been the best season I've ever watched from Liverpool, including last season when they were really unlucky. This has been the best Liverpool side I've ever watched, and I think he is that kind of manager that will want to continue to play at their best.
Yeah. And having said all of that in terms of momentum and rhythm, Klopp is not going to risk players if they've got even the slightest little niggle.
We saw that, right?
Because
We've seen it.
As, you know, Salah and Robertson both came into that first Everton game with, we've got, you know, a little bit of something going on in our legs. And Salah was on the bench, right? But it didn't keep them out. Of course, Salah and Robertson both then came back and started in the Crystal Palace match. So even if there is even a hint of anything in any of their muscles, they are not going to start. And they probably will be left out and left at Melwood to continue training. So on that basis,
I don't think
we'll see wholesale changes, but we will see some changes from Klopp.
Rotate, but are you expecting rotation as opposed to out altogether? So would you wouldn't expect necessarily Williams to start over Trent. You would expect Trent to start and then Williams to come on?
Yeah, so let's get into it. And so Trent, I think you keep him, right? I think you keep him. I don't think you sell him at all, because when he does play, clearly he can do what he did against Crystal Palace, open the scoring with an absolutely fantastic free kick. So Trent is Trent. I don't know what his price is going to be in FPL next year, but it would not surprise me to see him match Leighton Baines' record for a defender at 8 million. Wouldn't surprise me to see him at 8.5.
When I did the show with David on Friday, he was saying, he was saying that actually what they tend to do is they like to go up from where the player ends the season now.
Yeah.
So the logical step is to be at 8, because that's up from where he is now without being excessively up from where he is now. Doesn't make sense.
I think you keep and you play Trent. I think that's no problem at all. With Robertson, that's an interesting one, because there isn't really anybody else at left back. We've got a whole slew of very, very good young right backs, but left back is a bit of a funny position for us. Robbo is there. Of course, Milner can play there. We've seen that. But Milner is, of course, the sort of player that he's going to want to protect and look after his muscles and all the rest of it. I think we've got at least one more season out of Milner. I think he's got
How old is Milner?
Well, he's mid-30s, right? So he should be thinking about
retirement.
You know, playing for, you know, the Premier League champions.
28, 29.
A team 30. That plays very high-intensity football week in, week out. James Milner, frankly, is a machine that he keeps going. But I do think we'll get one more season out of him. but probably with reduced minutes. Now, he's the only one really that can step in at left back.
Right.
So Robbo, I think, is... I'm going to say he's nailed on, but I expect him to see a fair amount of minutes between now and the end of the season.
But you can't really change your shape, can you? Don't ever really play with just three at the back. Not really.
It's normally four, yeah. It's normally the four. And I think Van Dijk, I think, will play. I don't think there's any danger of that. We've got some very good young players. We've got Yanky Hueva, and we've got the guy Sepp Vandenberg as well. Some very young... These guys are like teenagers, right? But they're very talented players. But I don't see that... I don't see that he doesn't give Virgil the minutes. Virgil will get the minutes. The interesting one for me is Matip versus Gomez. Now, we saw in the Merseyside derby Matip start but get the injury, so Gomez had to come on, but at the time he had to shift out to the left or something, didn't he? Because there was all sorts of injuries going on in that game. But then in the Crystal Palace game, whether Matip was fit or not was questionable, but Gomez got the start. Now, by the way, a good stat for you, Virgil and Gomez haven't lost a game whenever they've started at centre-half. Those two. They've never lost a Premier League game. So
ever? Not just this season,
whenever
ever.
They've started together, they've never lost a Premier League game.
Wow, what's so, that?
And Gomez is, you know, he's heir to the throne. I mean, he's a fantastic player, and he's got, as you saw when he played at right-back for a little while, or left-back in the Everton game, he was bombing up and down, and the pace of the guy is unbelievable. So therefore, his recovery
he
pace is
very,
very good.
He'll probably be your next captain when he's not there.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't really know who the next captain would be. He's probably in with a shout, to be fair. But I think he and Virgil are first choice. So if you want to go, I've got Gomez.
Virgil, I meant as the captain.
Oh, you think Virgil? Yeah, for sure. So I've got Gomez in my team right now, and I think I'm pretty happy to keep. He's about 5.2 selling price for me. So
you're happy to have the double up at Liverpool defence, even though you're done.
Yeah, I'm happy to keep the double up in defence. I think so. Moving on to midfield, this is where it gets a bit more interesting, because obviously this is where we've got a lot of our FPL pounds spent in terms of Mane and Salah. That midfield three is an interesting triangle as well, because I would ordinarily say don't go near Fabinho, but what an absolute screamer he scored against Crystal Palace is unbelievable. But I don't see him as a key FPL, that's a good idea, a key FPL asset for us to look at.
Thanks.
Ginny Wijnaldum, of course, can get goals, and we know that, and he's reasonably cheap compared to the others. And Henderson, of course... Ditto, I would say. But none of us really look at those guys as kind of, you know, must-haves in FPL.
No.
Interestingly, Keita, I think, will get minutes between now and the end of the season as well. He is one that I do think will come in and get quite a few minutes. Him and Minamino, in particular, in midfield, will see minutes. Klopp is absolutely desperate to get Keita fit and firing and running on all cylinders, because there is a real player in there, but he needs some consistency and some game time. And what better time to give it to him than now?
Okay, so case for Minamino then. Whose places do they... Who is in their...
Well, I think given the league's won, I don't think it really matters. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Keita would come in for probably Wijnaldum or maybe Henderson. Or Henderson could drop back into the Fabinho position so that Keita can play. So I expect a lot of rotation in that midfield three.
All right. So let's talk about the Golden Boot then, because obviously the Golden Boot race is still on. Vardy is not... I cannot see Vardy wins this.
Do you know, Vardy hasn't scored against a Premier League team other than Aston Villa since Christmas Day.
You said that to me earlier.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But equally, watching him today, I'm not surprised.
But there's something about, and we'll talk about Leicester in a minute in the race for fourth, but there's all that creativity behind him seems to have gone. It seems to have disappeared, and Vardy's not getting the service anymore.
No, and I think, you know, so he's at the top of the Golden Boot race at the moment, followed by Danny Ings, who's next. And then obviously we get into the Salah and Mane territory. Now, we talked on the FPL show on Friday about how actually... Salah and Mane, obviously they shared the Golden Boot last year and shared it with Aubameyang. Now, Salah particularly, Mane a little bit, will have hated sharing that boot because Salah is that sort of player, isn't he? He will have hated.
They would have both hated sharing it with Aubameyang.
And they would have hated.
And they would have hated sharing it with each other.
And so in my mind, I own Salah. Very, very happy to own Salah. And as a non-Liverpool fan, I cannot see me taking him out of my team. And I saw a lot of chatter last week amongst the Instagram community mostly about people taking Salah out of their teams. And I remember coming to you and going, am I missing something?
Yeah.
Because everyone's taking Salah out. Have I missed something here? Because the way I see it, your champions, you could finish on the most points ever scored. He can win the Golden Boot, and he wants to beat Mane more than anything in the world. I'm almost certain of that.
If there's one thing we know about Salah as well, he's selfish, right? He loves a shot. He loves to be the guy that gets the goals.
Yeah.
And now there's less repercussions for missing, if you know what I mean. So if we go, if we're, say we are, I don't know, 0-0 against Man City in the last 5 minutes and Salah takes a shot rather than squares it for a tap-in to Firmino, we will all go, what are you doing, Salah? Give it to Bobby. But yeah, it won't be like, oh, it's cost us the league. But no one's going to be that upset.
And also,
so he'll always shoot.
And also, nobody's there in the stadium to give him that a grief.
Yes, true.
Do you know what I mean? There's no pressure from the fans in the crowd. So Klopp might look at him and go, Salah.
Yeah, we might all go, what are you
the
doing?
The rest of the team might go, for God's sake, pass me the ball. But nobody's actually going to give him, he's not going to hear that abuse from the crowd. He's not going to hear the crowd go, oh, and, you know, complain. So
wasn't he good against Palace as well?
Yeah, but I mean, he's probably gonna be a frustrating own, because all of these shots that I think he's gonna have are probably gonna mean that unless he gets a bit more accurate and scores a few more of them, he won't get bonus points, because it's likely to be missed opportunities that see him out of the bonus points, as we saw against Crystal Palace last week. But I just think that the push for the highest points record ever, the push for the Golden Boot, the push to beat Mane will be enough that Salah is just...
So you've got Salah, you're going to keep?
I am, yeah.
If you had Mane, would you keep?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would too. Nice comment from Joville in the chat. Thank you, Joville. He's saying Curtis Jones is a player I missed. He's another one that's going to come into that midfield three and mix it up. Nico Williams, who's the right back we mentioned before, and Harvey Elliott, of course, who's the 17-year-old wonder kid that we picked up from Fulham. He can play across that front three. All need 4 matches to receive the medal.
Right. But they don't need to play 4 matches. They just need to get minutes in those matches.
Minutes in matches, yeah.
We know that that will happen because of the 5 substitutions.
Yeah.
Origi is another one that we should throw in there for minutes versus Firmino. Yeah. But do you see them starting, or do you just see that the main team start to keep the momentum going, as we talked about before, into next season and to get the points tied up, and then these guys come on for half an hour, even at half time. We know that the half time thing, it doesn't matter about your substitution bracket anymore.
Yeah.
So there, you could make 4 sets of changes rather than 3.
Depends on the opposition, I think.
Yeah.
I think against Man City, he's going to want to go out there. And that is why, guys, and those of you that have seen my FPL team for this week will know, I've captained Salah this week. It's very, very much heart over head. Very much. Although my head was saying Jimenez, by the way.
Which my head was saying.
Or Rashford. But my heart Salah was saying Salah. And the reason, one of the reasons I think that is because I do think Klopp will get them fired up. I think he'll be sitting in that dressing room. They've got the guard of honour. By the way, City won't want us to win.
Socially distanced guard. I said it on the FPL show. I think that's real high scoring, that game.
Potentially, because City won't want us to go there and beat them 2-3-0. They won't allow that. But equally, Klopp will be in that dressing room saying, you're champions. Go show the world why you're champions.
Yeah.
And go out there and play with freedom and just play as you want to play.
Particularly as you... I mean, I know you have won it, but you didn't win it. Chelsea stopped them winning it. So you haven't yet played as champions. So this is the moment for Liverpool to come out and go, here we are, we're the champions. And
so which is the stronger emotion then? Is it Liverpool showing the world we're champions, or is it Man City saying... No, you bloody not.
I think it's going to be brilliant. I mean, as a neutral...
I think it'd be a great game, honestly.
As a neutral... I mean, I'm not really a neutral, am I? But as a neutral, I am buzzing for that game. I think it will be brilliant. I think that'll be... That's the sort of game where there's just going to be goals. There's going to be goals in that game because both sides are going to want to go out. You're going to want to go out and say, hey, look at us, we're the new champions. And they're going to want to come out and go... Not in my backyard, you're
absolutely
not.
Absolutely, especially as it's at the Etihad. That is absolutely right, yeah. Let's see what you guys are saying in the live chat. So Claire Hamley, thank you, Claire, for the comment. She's saying, I don't think Harvey Elliott is that good. I've watched him play multiple times. He hasn't even scored.
Is Harvey Elliott the guy 17. With a ponytail?
Yeah, he's ponytail. So I kind of agree, Claire. I don't know if he's had much of an impact in those Premier League games yet, but the kid is 17. You've got to give him a chance.
Mm.
And for a player coming into that Liverpool team, surrounded by world-class players, to come in at 17 and even look the part in the first 11 is something. He's one to watch for the future, Claire. Keep your eyes out on him. Azzy, how are we doing? He's saying Salah to take Milner's penalties. Yes, would expect that, particularly
that,
as the Golden Boot thing kicks in. Salah will be absolutely gagging to take those penalties.
He
will be
like yes, the ping, give it to seagulls me. In, what film is it?
Finding Nemo.
Mine.
That's the most random reference of this evening. There we go. So yes, Azzy, Salah absolutely to take Milner's penalties, particularly as I expect Milner's minutes to be managed. He's a, you know, he's getting on a bit, bless him.
He's the same age as us.
I know. Well, tell me about it. What else are you guys saying?
Getting on a bit. Speak for yourself.
Tell me about it. Daniel Bebra, Danny Ings to be a 12 million striker next year.
Stop it about Danny Ings. Do we have to talk about Danny Ings anymore?
Yes, I'm afraid, Sam.
He is on my wanted list.
Let's see what you guys are saying. Anwanit, hey Anwanit, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Salah is selfish, yet almost has more assists than Mane. Yeah, so this, I don't know whether this thing still exists about this Salah selfish thing and not passing to Mane. I think that was a bit last season. I kind of feel like that's gone away.
How many of those assists are to Mane?
I don't know.
And how many of them are free kicks, one, and that Trent takes?
I don't know. Milan Milic is saying, I've also got Salah captain this week, but it's Mane that always shows up in the big games. Yeah,
nah,
absolutely.
I do genuinely think we're going to see Salah magic this week, and I have not captained him.
I hope you're right. Abdullah Mohammed is saying, I sold Salah to Son this week. I needed the cash. Wanted some City players in these nice games, but he sold Salah to Son. Interesting. There we go.
Son.
And Pedro Duro is saying City 2, Liverpool 4 is what he reckons is the score in that game.
I could see that.
Absolutely no chance we can see 2.
I can see a 3-2, 4-2.
Well, you could be right.
3-3.
You could be right. Well, listen, that's enough about Liverpool. I wanted to get a bit of a segment out there, not least because
Why?
I wanted to celebrate the fact
Why?
That we are the new Premier League champions.
Oh, really?
Not that I've mentioned that much, but I just wanted to give you guys a feel for how I'm thinking. And to be honest, I think Jovial's point that he made in the live chat is absolutely spot on. There's three players there that need minutes to get that medal. Klopp is all about inclusivity, inclusion.
Well, he gave one of the minutes, didn't he, on... When did you play? Wednesday.
Yeah, Nico came on, didn't
he?
Yeah, yeah. And Harvey Elliott came on as well.
Yeah.
So he's gonna, we're gonna see that. We're gonna see that. But should that mean you sell Trent in your FPL team? No. Should it mean if Harvey Elliott's gonna get minutes and Minamino's gonna get minutes, does that mean you should sell Salah? No. I think keep all your big Liverpool players. Just expect them to have reduced minutes.
Yeah.
But in those reduced minutes, they can still do damage. And that means in the next game, they've only got 60 minutes in their legs rather than 90, so they're potentially fresher. I think it's fine. I think you're fine. Keep all your Liverpool players.
And look, let's be honest, Klopp's not a troll. He has to keep everyone on for 60 minutes
and
then take
right.
them off.
You're probably right. Anyway, Sam, Liverpool are champions. I've mentioned it before, but...
805.
Plenty still to play for. Plenty still to play for.
Oh, well, are we going to talk about Spurs?
Well, we will talk about Spurs in this section. As you can see, I've done an absolute... I mean, this is, again, the height of technological brilliance here
in the
Hill family.
Can we just take a minute?
So look at this screen.
Look
at the love that's gone into this.
I came down from putting the children to bed. Lee was finished before me with one of them and I had the other one. I came down here about 7:30. At 8:10, having like done a load of jobs and got the bottle of champagne out, Lee was still doing this slide.
Sam, these slides don't make themselves, these OBS screens. This has taken a lot of love and screenshots.
There's three pictures on it.
Right, you have to go next week. Stop drinking, you. You're getting to that. You did it the other week with a taboo. The guys noticed it in the live chat. You get argumentative. You get aggressive. And I don't like
aggressive.
It.
Aggressive?
Yes, I
don't
like
get
it.
Aggressive. When have I ever got aggressive? Should we have some more bubbles in a
Daniel Bebra, the production value is off the charts. Daniel, you're absolutely right. Would you expect nothing less from the FPL family? So what I've done is, as you can see, I've gone and got a screenshot off my phone of the league. I've gone and done little screenshots of the Fantasy Football Scout ticker. And those of you that are members
Shout
over at Fantasy Football Scout, yeah, head over to there and join the membership, because what you can do is you can have a look at the season ticker and you can sort it by difficulty and you can extend the amount of fixtures that you look at. It's a very, very good little tool. I've used it for years, actually. I swear
by it. Good time
to
become a member as well. There's an offer on.
It is, yeah. There is an offer right now for FF Scout members. So head over to Fantasy Football Scout if you want to go check that out. And what I've done is kind of done a little screen grab of the fixture runs that Leicester, Chelsea, Wolves, Man U and Spurs have.
And
now, I was going to keep Spurs off of this slide,
who?
But,
and
well,
who?
I listen, I and knew who? I knew that I would get the death stare if I didn't do it, right? So it's in there. MZ Ludo, by the way, is in. Hey, MZ, saying bring the taboo back.
It's in the kitchen.
Get the taboo. No.
I'll tell you what.
No.
How much have we got left? No. If this gets finished before the end of the stream,
MZ Ludo, I'm not sure the taboo is ever coming back. Goodness me. Asian 1-1 football saying Sam getting brave again. Yeah, brave is one word for it. I'm fine actually at the moment, thank you. So here's the race for fourth. What I wanted to talk about here is these are the teams from an FPL perspective, in my view, that we've got to focus on, because not only have most of them, and we'll talk about Leicester in a second, but most of them have got the form. They've got the fixtures, one or two red ones in there, but there's a lot of blue ones, so the fixtures don't look too bad as well. So I can foresee these teams picking up a lot of points between now and the end of the season. I can foresee it being pretty close, to be honest with you. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, the teams that are battling it out at the bottom feel like no-goes right now for us in FPL, because none of them are playing that well. Even Brighton have got 4 points out of six and they kind of got themselves a little bit away from trouble, but their fixtures look tricky, I think, and I'm not sure if I'd want to invest in them. So here is where we as FPL managers should be here's putting our attention. Here's where the value is going to come. So I want to talk about players from each of these teams. So let's go through them then. So Leicester, right now, not in great form.
No.
The creativity seems to have disappeared around Vardy.
Yeah.
I notice if you look at the league, their goal difference is actually 30, which is the best that's up there. So that tells you how fantastic they were pre-coronavirus break.
Vardy was fantastic up to Christmas.
Vardy was just smashing it, and they were Madison was banging them in, and even the likes of, you know, Perez Soyuncu would pop up every now and again. Soyuncu would get some Chilwell, etc., chipping in. But coming back from the break, they've lost all that momentum, and it feels like it's difficult for them to get back up and running. Out of the FA Cup to Chelsea today as well. So what happens now? Crystal Palace at home, Arsenal away, Bournemouth away, Sheffield United, Spurs and Man United. Not the easiest fixtures up there by a long shot. No. So how are you feeling about FPL assets in your team? Do you have any Leicester FPL assets right now?
Yeah, I have Justin.
Oh, you have Justin as a fullback. Okay, so reasonable value there.
Value, yeah.
What about those midfielders, though? And, of course, Jamie Vardy, who was so popular at the beginning of the season.
No.
How are you feeling about
him? No, I'm not interested.
Palace home next. Come on. It's a good fixture, right?
Yes, on paper it is a good fixture. But Palace has started the season better than Leicester, in my humble opinion. I think that Leicester should be... There should be a great place to look for FPL assets. But I'm looking at Vardy and thinking there is zero form from you. There seems to be zero, as you've just said, creativity coming towards you, which means that he is becoming increasing... Well, not even becoming, because he was before the break. He is just increasingly isolated.
Yeah.
Up top. And that is not how Vardy works. Vardy is not that sort of player that's going to be happy. He's not like Harry Kane, who will drop back and get involved in the play. Vardy's just not like that. He just hangs about on his own up the top, right, looking at
that's worked for him for 10 years. What's changed?
It works for him if there's somebody that's looking to give him the ball. And the problem is that the midfield seems to have lost its connection to him.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know what's caused that, because as you said...
They missed Madison today,
I think. Yeah, they did. But, I mean, Madison has been playing. So it's very difficult to know what's caused this disconnection between Vardy and the midfield. Whether it was the injury... Whether Vardy's injury and the baby and everything else that was going off just left him a bit... Whether they just learned to play without him and then it's the change back to playing with him, possibly. But he is their talisman, and you would expect that they would be able to play with him better than they are.
Okay, all right, let's get a few comments from you guys. Let's see. Matt Henley, thank you, Matt, for the comment. I've still got Vardy. He's boosted me up a lot when I captained him the week after his hat-trick way back when. But Leicester have no creativity at the moment. That is the point, I think, there. I don't think... I can't put my finger on what exactly it is, but for sure they miss Madison today. But Vardy's just not getting the service right now. Florian Sandu. Hey, Florian, he's saying Leicester needs a new striker. The only thing they do is throw the ball in up front. Yeah, there's something about them right now that's really not clicking.
It's isolation.
So a lot of you guys are saying that potentially Nistel Percy is saying Leicester will drop out of the top four. Given that they had such a lead on the others, it would be a hell of a catastrophic fall from grace if they were to fall out of the top four. Next in that list is Chelsea, though. Now, Chelsea, on the other hand, very much have the momentum. Beat Leicester in the FA Cup today. Look good. Pulisic in particular looks good. Looked like he had a bit of treatment on his calf as he came off today. So keep an eye on that one, FPL managers, because he, for me, looks like the one to have. And with the fixtures that Chelsea have got coming up, Watford, Palace and Sheffield United away. Neither of those are easy games, by the way. But Norwich at home, then a trip to Anfield. Anything could happen in that game, depending on what Liverpool they're going to come up against. And then Wolves at home. So it's not mega easy for Chelsea. But given that they've got the momentum, I do think they can get points in those last few games, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, this week already we're obviously locked in. Now, I'm intrigued to watch Chelsea against West Ham, because Chelsea, yeah. I think I'm right in saying Chelsea haven't won at the London Stadium.
Is that right?
I think that's
wow.
right.
Okay.
And obviously West Ham aren't in good form, but West Ham need the points just as much as Chelsea do. So it'll be interesting to see how that game pans out. Chelsea are 100% the team that I want to bring in ahead of game week 32.
I do, that yeah. Hope to Watford, I think I fancy that.
Yeah, that is how I would like to use one of my two free transfers going into 32. But it's working out who, because my plan was for Pulisic. That was always the intention, that Pulisic would come in after the Manchester City game. Then it obviously didn't quite happen because, what was I doing? Oh, I rolled transfer for this week, just so I had two for next week. So it made sense for it to be the West Ham game, to be after the West Ham game for that nice run that they've got that he came in. But now, obviously, with the injury, potentially, we need to wait and see how it goes.
Yeah.
See how Chelsea play against West Ham in midweek and then make a decision on which player it is. Because there are in my opinion, a wealth of options at Chelsea, all of which could be good FPL bets, but it's working out who's going to get the minutes, who's going to get the most points over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Okay, all right. For me, Chelsea look as if they've got the form, got the reasonable fixtures. Brian Springer, thank you for the comment, Brian. He's saying, yeah, Pulisic looks the real deal. Form and fixtures looks good to me. Benny Blanco is saying, with Pulisic potentially injured, though, is Giroud a solid differential pick versus Watford at home? Let's see. Subhachit Roy is saying, Mason Mount is lacking a bit of accuracy right now. What about Pulisic? Aman Chima is saying, I feel Chelsea assets are too unpredictable for a consistent return. Pulisic looks good, but it's now flagged, so we might skip them. So is getting in on Chelsea before Watford at home a bit like pick one and stick with it? Just go with it for the rest of the season?
I don't think it needs to be with Chelsea. I think you can switch about because of the price bracket. I think you can swap between them.
Okay. If you had to choose one, Giroud or Abraham up front? That's a bit more difficult to narrow your colours to the flag, isn't it?
That I would avoid.
Yeah, that's tricky. All right, well, Chelsea, I think, absolutely investable. Absolutely investable, and they've got the form and the momentum.
Let's also just quickly, very quickly, let's not forget the defenders, because Aspilicueta also looks like a good pick.
Yes, he does. Yeah, and I think I would prefer him on that side. Although you've got Reece James coming back in. Reece James got the start in the FA Cup today. Although what I will say is that often when Frank plays Reece James ahead of Aspilicueta, he moves Aspilicueta to the left in place of Alonso. So it feels like he always wants to find space for Aspilicueta somewhere in that side. And because he's, I guess, club captain, then that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So I agree with you. If I was going to punt on anybody at the back, I think it would be Dave. Yes, it would be Dave. Another team with fantastic form right now, as we mentioned before, clean sheets ahoy at Molineux and whenever on the road, frankly. Wolves, very, very difficult to score against. The fixtures look like this going forward. They're on 52 points, so they are 2 points behind Chelsea, 3 behind Leicester. But they have Arsenal, Sheffield United, Everton, Burnley, Palace, and then, Sam, on the final day of the season, away at Stamford Bridge, Wolves versus Chelsea on the final day, which could be a real, real fantastic game. How are we feeling about those fixtures for Wolves? Mixed bag, some difficult away games in there, but some very winnable away games.
My opinion? Wolves are in the top four by the end of game week 32.
Ooh, okay.
I think Leicester will lose to Crystal Palace, and I think Wolves will beat Arsenal.
Wow, okay. So here's one of the questions I wanted to ask you in terms of triple ups on any of these teams. Wolves, triple up,
now.
Yes or no?
Absolutely now.
I think so.
100 and every percent.
Okay.
If you've only got one, why? If you've only got two, like I have, get a third.
So here's the question then. So yes for the triple up on Wolves. Tell me the pool of players to pick from, and then tell me who you're going to pick.
All right, so it's Jimenez up top.
I think you can have, right?
Oh, yeah.
No one else. Go with him.
So you can have Jota if you want. If you want another cheap third, but I think there are better cheap thirds. No. We've already talked about the other cheap thirds, the likes of Nketiah.
Trust me, I've been there recently with Jota. It ain't pretty. He comes off on 59 or 61 minutes. He's so frustrating. And whenever he comes off, it feels like Espirito Santo. He's a hard worker, right, Jota? What it feels to me as if Espirito Santo does is he gets Jota to run him ragged, and then he puts on his secret weapon, Traoré, and they win the game.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. Don't go there with Jota. He's definitely not worth... Jimenez is worth more. He's worth it.
I 100% agree with you, but, you know, there is potential there. But I think for me, the value comes... There's options in the midfield. Basically, it's Traoré, really. I mean, Moutinho's there as well, and I like Moutinho. I think he's a fantastic player, but Traoré, even with 30 minutes, looks like just being a great FPL asset.
He's
Neto as well, who, when he comes on, looks phenomenal. But again, like Traoré, only seems to get bits of games.
Do you think these players, though, Neto and Adama Traoré in particular, are coming on when teams are knackered 30 minutes to go?
Yeah, maybe.
As we get into the fixtures, teams are going to start getting less knackered, aren't they, towards the end of 90 minutes? They're going to start finding a bit of match fitness.
Yes. Are they, though? They should, but are they? Because it's not like a normal season when they're all knackered at the beginning and then they get a week in between.
Well, maybe.
This time they've got 3 days in between.
So who are you going as your three for Wolves then?
For me, I think it's Jimenez and then two at the back. So it's then the choice is who do you go with the two at the back? Doherty and Jimenez, absolutely essential FPL fodder. You cannot not have those guys.
Save a bit of money by going Saïss or Bolly over Doherty.
I think you save a bit of money on your third by going for one of those guys.
Okay, all right.
But I think for me, it's those two. But then, so there's Saez and there's Bolly, who look fantastic. And we should put Johnny in there after last week, after this week's performance.
Yes, very much so.
Saez, Bolly and Johnny, who all look like brilliant third choices. And the thing I like about the double Wolves defence is that if they do have a tricky fixture, for example, that final game of the season, For me, I'll be free hitting that week anyway, so who cares if I've got the double chance of defence? But equally, if you've not got the free hit left, you can bench them because you can still play Doherty and you can bench them. But I think mine is likely to be a goalkeeper option, and I'm going to go Patricio as a set and forget. Okay.
As he is saying, Sam, you once loved Moutinho. What's happened
to
Moutinho?
I love him. I absolutely adore Moutinho, and I think he's a fantastic player. But I think what we're seeing in these closing games of the season is that there are better Wolves options at the moment than Moutinho.
Okay, Hamza Siddiqui is saying Doherty's too much.
No!
Okay. Interesting, Hamza, interesting. Matt Henley, I've got Traore, but I'm getting rid. Quality player, but the minutes are an issue.
They are an issue. That's why I ended up with St. Maximin.
Interesting. And Abdullah Mohamed is again saying, Jota is out for me. He is the weak link in Wolves. Yeah, I don't know if I call him the weak link, but from an FPL perspective, he's very frustrating to own.
I think, am I right in saying that you got him on the basis that it was easier to fund him than Jimenez, but actually what you found out is that it's worth spending the extra on Jimenez.
Yeah, yeah. And also, they were both in equally good form coming up to the break. Now, what we've learned, and we've seen it before, is that Jota takes time to get back into his stride, whereas Jimenez is a quality play. He just goes, doesn't he? So, coming back from the break, that was a concern for me. And had I gone down the road of, you know, I've got my wild card in my pocket and I'll use the unlimited transfers, I would have found a way to make that switch, but I didn't have my wild card, so I had to not do that.
Yeah.
Next team on this, Manchester United. So for me,
terrifying.
I think they look absolutely sensational at the minute, and they've got the form, they've got the fixtures. And if you look at those fixtures, Bournemouth at home next game week looks absolutely unreal. Then they go to Villa Park, home to Southampton, away at Palace, which arguably is their hardest game left. Home West Ham, away Leicester. So those two away games at the end of the season. But I have to say, 49 points, what are they, 5 points behind Chelsea? Can they, that's a big gap to make up, even with those fixtures. Can Manchester United make up those 5 points? Have they left it too late to make that gap?
Do you know what I think is going to happen here?
Go on.
I think they're going to get fifth and take it from City.
I hadn't even thought of that. That could absolutely happen.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to end up fifth. Absolutely happen, that. The governors at UEFA are going to go, you're out. Man United in.
Oh, Man
it's written
City
in the stars.
Fans, Man
it's
United
just
fans.
Written in the stars.
Let
it?
Us know what you think about
my,
that.
My
as an
opinion.
Option. Goodness me.
My opinion is Leicester are going to go, Wolves are going to take it, and Man United are going to finish fifth, and Leicester are going to finish sixth or
goodness
seventh.
Goodness me. Well, listen, they definitely have the fixtures to do it. I'm not going to talk too much about their options because we spoke about it at the beginning of the video, but listen, despite Pogba coming in and maybe having a negative effect on Bruno and them taking it in turns to go forward rather than Bruno being the man to go forward, I still think Bruno's a good option. He's still on set pieces. He's still on penalties. He still is involved with the play. So I don't see him as a bad option at all. If you want to pair him with Rashford, I see that as a good option as well. And then Martial as well. I wouldn't go all three in the attack, but two of those three looks good. And if you want a treble, have a look at Wan-Bissaka and Maguire at the back. I think that's my strategy for Manchester United. And by the way, again, in the same way that I would treble on Wolves, I would treble on Manchester United as well.
I agree. I absolutely would.
I
agree with everything you said.
Azzy, quick super chat from Azzy. Thank you. Do you think Doherty is affected when Traore plays? Well, yes, I do, because I think Doherty is encouraged to get forward when Traore is not there, and perhaps he's a bit less so when Traore plays.
Yeah, but I don't think Traore is going to start that many games. He likes to use him as a bit of a super sub at the end of the game.
Feels like it, doesn't it? Feels like it. Either way, both really nice picks, Azzy. Both nice picks. And then, of course, Sam, seventh right now in the league, 45 points, so four behind Manchester United. So we're talking about Man United, got the fixtures, got the form, got the momentum. Maybe they've left it a bit too much in terms of the gap. Surely, Sam, Spurs have got too much of a gap to make up here. 45 points against Chelsea in fourth with 54 points. Spurs fixtures like this, Everton at home, Bournemouth away, the London Derby in a few weeks, Newcastle away, Leicester home, Crystal Palace away. Mixed bag of fixtures with a big gap to make up. Do you think they can do it?
Do I think we can make Champions League? No.
Okay.
Do I honestly? No.
Yeah.
Do I think
there's a lot to do?
Do I think we can finish sixth? Yes. Do I think we can finish fifth? If it was just about us, yes.
Yeah.
But the fact that Wolves and Manchester United are so good at the moment and Chelsea are still so good at the moment, no.
Yeah.
I think we'll be sixth. Because I think the other thing is when you look at the Leicester fixtures, you know, we've already just discussed.
Who's going to be seventh then?
Leicester.
Leicester will not be seventh. They are
ten points ahead of you. Look who they've got to play. They've got to play Man
10 points.
Look who they've got to play. They've got to play a load of people that are trying to fight for them. If they lose to us, if they lose to
Leicester will not be seventh.
Well, let's see.
Right. Okay, so... a 10-point lead. Oh, my days.
Can you see Leicester win at any games? I don't think Leicester win a game till the end of the season.
What are you talking about?
Where are they going to score a goal?
10-point lead. Anyway, Spurs, 45 points. A lot to do. Despite the fixtures and despite the fact you might not make it into the Champions League then,
what?
Still some options, right, players-wise, right?
Oh, yeah. I think there's some brilliant options at Spurs. I'm going to say the unpopular thing, which I keep saying, which is I still think Harry Kane is too much money at the moment for what we're getting from him. I think one goal, let's see if he can build on that in game week 31. But I do think there's a wealth of options in the midfield. It is a little bit concerning how many options there are in the midfield at Spurs in terms of picking one. I feel like I'm about to go rogue, though.
Wow. With who?
You've already got
Bergwijn. That's pretty rogue.
I think I'm going to bring in Aurier.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you kidding? No. I was considering bringing in Aurier next week.
Yeah.
And I asked you whether that was a good idea yesterday. And you went, are you mad?
Yeah, I know. And I feel like I've gone mad. But I think I'm going to do it.
Goodness me.
I might not.
You know we're in the final throes of FPL, of a season of FPL, when you're considering Aurier.
But the fixtures look nice. It looks like there's going to be some clean sheets in there. He does like a rogue attack. Now, I watched him against... Who did we play last? West Ham.
Yeah.
And he was good tacky. I mean, the final ball was shocking. But there is a potential there.
Okay. Taha ASN, it's the wine talking, Sam. Jamie Taylor.
What, the Oreo?
It's the bubbles talking.
What is this, Oreo or Leicester?
I think this is the Leicester, for some reason, Leicester completely falling apart as a football club, I think is what you're
saying. Well, they're about to go to lockdown anyway again, aren't they?
Leicester going from third to seventh. I think people are saying that the wine's gone to your head. Dan saying, had enough to drink, Sam. Leicester to finish sixth, Mohar's
saying.
See? Sagar is just saying, I love drunk Sam. Mogi is saying Spurs to say seventh.
Do you feel a bit hot?
Well, listen, that's because we've had to shut the shutters because of the light in here. But I might open that and that might be a little bit better. What I didn't tell you was when I put this slide together, what I did do was put my predictions for how I think the league is going to finish.
Oh, now this is why it took so blimmin' long.
So
right,
the guys in the live chat have been saying, what's your prediction, Lee? How do you think it's going to finish? And you've already said that, for some reason, Leicester are going to suddenly not become a football team.
I can tell you what I think mine is.
Spurs are going to be sick. But here are my predictions, guys, for the rest of the season.
I can't read
it. You might not be able to see that, but the guys obviously be able to see it. I'll talk you through it.
Where'd you put Leicester?
Leicester, I think, will get... I think they will...
Get seventh.
They haven't got the form. They will struggle. And they won't be seventh, but I do think they'll be fourth. They've got enough points in the bank to finish in that top four for me. And they'll be on 66 points. I do think Chelsea have got the momentum and the fixtures. As we mentioned before, treble ups on Wolves and Man United. I don't think you'd go treble on Chelsea. But I do think, and again, you can't underestimate that points difference. There's 5 points already between Chelsea and Man United. With only six games to go, that is a lot. That's a big gap. That is a big gap. So I'm back in Chelsea, actually, to finish third this season. I do think they will nick it.
I think Chelsea
will be third, 67 points. And then I think Leicester and Wolves will finish on the same point, 66. And I think Leicester will have fourth on the basis
of
their goal.
Did you put their point scores you think they're going to get?
I did a bit of they'll win this game, that game, lose that game, draw that game.
I love that.
66 points for Leicester. And given that we said before about their goal difference, right, they are plus 30 right now.
Yeah.
So even if they go the rest of the season and lose a couple of games here or there, they still have a far superior goal difference to Wolves, who currently only have 11. So Leicester have got a plus 19 goal difference over Wolves. That gives them an extra point in this race for fourth, doesn't it? Leicester, that goal difference, it's sensational. So I think Leicester will be fourth on goal difference. I think Wolves will be fifth. And I think if Man City don't play in the Champions League next season, I think Wolves will get that spot. I really like your narrative about it not going to Man City and going to Manchester
United.
Written in the
stars.
I've gone for Manchester United in 63 points in sixth. And that's not because I don't think they're investable from an FPL perspective. I absolutely do.
And I love
the way that they're playing right now. Just think they've got a bit too much to make up to get to Chelsea and even to get to Wolves. They've got somewhere along the line, Wolves have got to slip up. And I don't see Wolves slipping up in the short term.
Nor do I. That's why
they're
Leicester
playing really
be
well.
Seventh.
So I don't see Leicester being 7-5. And then, of course, I included Spurs in there. I think you'll be on 57 points at the end of the season. And
seven.
I think you will finish 7.
That's where Leicester are going to be. Well, I'm telling you, what is going to happen here is that Leicester are going to lose. Who have they got to play, remind me?
Leicester's remaining fixtures. Palace, Arsenal,
lose,
Bournemouth,
lose.
Sheffield United, Spurs, Man United.
Right, they lose to Arsenal, they lose to Man United, they lose to Spurs, they lose
could
to
happen.
Palace.
It could happen, yeah.
And therefore, Man United and Spurs bump them. and listen, they finished behind us.
Listen, I get in the live chat, guys. Let us know what you think of my predictions. I did this on the back of a fag packet just as I was coming onto the stream.
If you think we're going to be seventh,
and it's you are definitely going to be seventh. If you're not, if you're right, you might we'll be eighth if you're not careful.
Who's going to finish above us?
I don't know. Arsenal might be.
What?
So
I'm outraged.
So there we go. Let's get into the chat. Let's see what you guys are saying about.
They're saying you've gone mental
about my predictions. Otto is saying United sixth. You're kidding me. Yeah, you're see? Showing your bias. Well,
you've gone mental.
Listen, guys. Maybe, and definitely, United have the form. And the one thing that I haven't considered, of course, is that United have got that game in hand over Wolves as well. They've only played 31, whereas Wolves have, of course, played 32. So yes, okay, I'll give you that one. It's going to be close between Wolves and Man United.
Yeah,
no
they'll be fourth and fifth.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
Leicester be seventh.
Let's see, Moha is saying Leicester will win 2, draw 1 and lose 3
from
the remaining 6 games. I can see Leicester ending up on 62 points and flirting around the 6th and 7th
spot.
Yes,
you see? You see?
Charlie King is in, Wolves don't win games by much, Lee. So although they're winning and not really smashing teams, and we've seen that in Raul Jimenez's FPL returns, don't we? He loves a 6, 7, 8, 9 point.
I saw you say on the Snaps the other day about that, didn't you?
Sam O'Sullivan quite rightly points out United have a game in hand. If they win, they're ahead of Wolves. Yes, absolutely. So again, did this a little bit on the fly as I came into the live stream, guys, just to give you a feel for how I think this is going to go. In summary, I think it's absolutely fine if you want to treble up on Wolves. It's absolutely fine if you want to treble up in Manchester United. And the way that I would treble up in both of those is different. I'd go double Wolves at the back with Jimenez.
Yes.
And I'd go double Man United offence with one of the guys at the back, be it Maguire or Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you want to top that up with a couple, maybe one or two Chelsea players, that's a good thing. Don't think I'd be investing in Leicester right now until I see an upturn of form.
But what about Spurs?
And if you want to chuck a Spurs player in there as a differential, that would be fine. Yeah, and I think if I was going to pick a Spurs player...
Pick one.
No, I don't think I would go for the obvious. I would go as differential as possible. I'd maybe bring in a Bergwijn, or I'd bring in a Lamella or somebody like that, right?
Okay, we've got to give 30 seconds because Lee and Lamella...
Turned into a Lamella lover. This is crazy.
I loved it the other night when Lee was like, you know what this game needs? It needs Eric Lamella.
Well, there we go. So that's how I think, guys, the league is going to finish. That's where the race for fourth is going to be won or lost. So get in the comments below if you're watching this video. I'd love to hear who you guys think are going to finish third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or indeed seventh. I'd love to hear what you guys think. That's it. That's where I think it's going to finish up.
You're wrong.
That's what I think. You're wrong. You're so wrong. Anyway, guys, that is it for another FPL fan.
By the way, what I do think is that Liverpool will win the league.
I think we're going to win the league. And I don't know if I've mentioned that this evening, but we are now Premier League champions. What? A quick shout out to the Instagram.
Where are our predictions, by the way?
I was just going to shout out the Instagram, but if you want to completely go off track, I can do.
No, it just suddenly occurred to me that we had the predictions for the top four and the bottom three and stuff.
The predictions did make the move.
They are in the cabinet
over there in the new drawer. We've got my predictions of what's going to happen this season. And I can tell you, I remember who I said was going to be top FPL point scorer this season. And I am way off the mark, guys. You did your predictions. We had a couple of predictions from the community as well. So Kun Karam, I think, sent us his predictions and a couple of other guys. These are, and guys, for those of you that are new to FPL Family, maybe just tuning in for the first time, at the beginning of the season, you can go back and watch the video on our channel. We wrote down our predictions live.
Golden Boot.
For Golden Boot, for top FPL point scorer, the top four, the bottom three in the Premier League, and we put them in a sealed envelope.
And Sam or Lee.
And in terms of who's going to beat who? Yeah, we did that as well. And we put them in a sealed envelope. Now, of course, we will be opening those envelopes at the end of the season. When the end of the season comes in a few weeks' time, we will have a season 19-20 finale live stream where we will be opening those envelopes, including Kun Karam's, and we'll find out what we thought was going to happen at the beginning of the season, see how close we were to those predictions. A quick shout out before we go to a couple of things. One is the Instagram, at FPL Family over on Instagram. We are at 4.7k followers over there. So guys, if you follow us on Instagram, thank you very much. Hope you're enjoying the Insta reactions at the end of each game.
Look,
it's really
honestly,
grown over the last few weeks, right?
Since the restart, I think we've had something like 350 followers, which on Instagram is a massive growth.
Really, really good.
It's been amazing. So if you're a new follower on Instagram, thank you so much. And if you've been there since the beginning, obviously you guys are legends. But the rest of you, if you're not following us on Instagram, please come over and follow us on Instagram. We do, at the end of every match that we watch live, we do an Insta reaction. So you get to see what we immediately think about the game. From an FPL point of view.
Knee-jerk gut reactions from an FPL perspective.
Yeah, so you don't get the benefit of, you know, having watched other games to compare these players.
1 minute videos, by the way. Not an hour and 20 like this.
Yeah, unless it's Spurs, then you get an extra minute because I like to do 2 minutes on Spurs.
Very good. All right, so that's at FPL Family over on Instagram. Just a quick shout out that our Project Restart Super League is still ongoing for our Patreon community. So again, lots of new patrons in the last week. So thank you guys for coming, supporting us over on patreon.com/FPL Family. All the links are in the description below if you want to take part in our Project Restart Super League. Starting in game week 30 plus, we'll finish in game week 38 plus. We should have done an update on that tonight, but on next live stream, we will do an update on that.
Can't have an update in the middle of a game week.
It's a bit difficult, isn't it? It's a bit difficult. But what I will say is, by the time we finish next week's live stream, I will be closing the league. So you have one more week to get into the FPL Family Project Restart Super League over on Patreon. So if you want to take part in that, we'd love you to come and join us. Prizes for the winners, by the way. Of course, you get all of the extra Ohana podcasts that we do on a Friday. You'll get entrance and access to our Slack channel and our Slack community, where we have all our patrons talking all sorts of stuff about FPL on a daily basis. But also, the winner of the Project Restart Super League will get one of the prizes from our sponsors, kickingtheballs.com. So you'll get either a nice Champions of Europe Liverpool shirt or a White Hart Lane signed by Harry Kane, Christian Eriksen sort of thing over there.
Other clubs are available.
Not just Spurs and Liverpool merchandise available on kickingtheballs.com. And again, links to kickingtheballs.com are in the description below.
There is still a FPL Family code. What is it?
There is FPL 10% if you want 10% off your order. So two ways to get good stuff from kickingtheballs.com. Head over there. Tell them Lee and Sam sent you with FPL 10%. Or join our Project Restart Super League and try and win one of these lovely bits. And they are really good, aren't they?
Honestly, really nice pieces. I mean, I'm not just saying it, but they are lovely.
I wonder if the guys at Kicking the Balls will do me a Liverpool Premier League Champions one. Because I don't know if you know, Sam, I don't know if I've mentioned it, but Liverpool are Premier League champions.
Will they do us one that says Leicester finish seventh?
Vardy seventh.
Vardy seventh. If you're an Leicester fan, we can arrange that as your prize if that's what you'd like.
Goodness me. Well, guys, that is it for another FPL Family. I'm going to switch over to the Twitter. I know most of you will be following us on Twitter anyway, but if you're not, at FPL Family over there. One last plea from us. I know I keep all these plugs. Sorry, guys, but we are very much closing in on the 10K on YouTube, by the way. YouTube subscriptions are at 9.6 or 7K, so very, very close to the 10K, and it would be superb, guys, if we got to 10K before the end of the season. So if you're not subscribed, you come every week. Even if you come every week and you know, I know Sam and Lee are going to be on at 8:30, I don't need a notification. I don't need to be subscribed because I know they're going to be on at 8:30 every week. Doesn't matter, guys. Subscribe to the channel because we are homing in on 10K and we're going to do a special giveaway when we get there to 10K.
I didn't know that. We need
your subscriptions, guys, when we get to 10K.
One more thing. This week, you are on the FPL show on Friday.
FPL show Friday, yes.
Remember, it goes out live on YouTube at 10:30 in the morning. That is UK time. So you can watch it on the Premier League YouTube channel. If you subscribe there, you'll get a notification when Lee goes live on Friday morning. And you can catch me on this week's official FPL pod with Kelly Summers this week, which will be absolutely brilliant.
Have we promoted enough stuff there? Is that enough promotion? I think it probably
Should
is.
Should we promote
it?
Something else?
I think it's probably time to say goodbye, isn't it?
Should we have some more wine?
Some more champagne to celebrate the fact that Liverpool are Premier League champions, right?
I made that 1.3 million. Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.